Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be in two places in Scripture this morning. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you'd like to put a little marker in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for a little later, we will be getting there. Last week, Eric was in 1 John chapter 3, and the section of Scripture that he was in dealt with sin and the child of God. Sin and the child of God. And you'll remember, Pastor Eric often refers to sin as being something here where we describe it as missing the mark. Something that the Lord doesn't want us partaking in. Something that on a regular basis when we come to church, we get convicted of because we haven't been perfect since the last time we were at church. Well, this morning I'd like to spend quite a bit of time talking about hitting the mark. We'll spend a little bit of time talking about missing the mark, but hopefully the message this morning is how we can hit the mark, because indeed we can. Indeed, we can hit the mark and we can be active parts of the body of Christ. And hopefully that's what we'll see this morning in these two scriptures. Let's pray. Father, we do come before you this morning. And as we open your word and look at it, Lord, we just ask that you'd help us to understand it, Lord, that you'd help us to grasp those things that are in your word this morning. Lord, you say in your word that your word is profitable for doctrine, for correction. Lord, for everything that the man of God needs or the woman of God needs to make us perfect and complete in you. Lord, but we acknowledge that we're far from perfect and we continue to need your word and to understand it. So this morning, would you be glorified in our time of Bible study? Lord, would you help those this morning that are just struggling, maybe struggling with their flesh or an ailment in their flesh that distracts them, or something from last week that distracts them. Lord, help them to only see you this morning and your word. Help us, Lord, as we look into your word and long to grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16 this morning. Paul says to the Galatians, I say this then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, he says. Hit the mark, he says, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, which is missing the mark, sin. An incredible key right here to that struggle that we have within us, carrying this flesh and yet being forgiven and renewed, and trying to do all of those things that we feel like the Lord is challenging us in and asking us to be. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary or opposed to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you're led by the Spirit, if you're a saved child of God, you're not under the law. If you sin, you don't have to go get resaved. The law said if you sin, you die. We've been forgiven. We've been given eternal life in Him. Freed from the law if you walk in the Spirit. And Paul here is assuming that all Christians want to walk in the Spirit, that are working toward walking in the Spirit. In verse 19, he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. The works of the flesh are evident. They're obvious. They're easily seen. Paul says the works of the flesh, sin, is a no-brainer. If you're a saved child of God this morning, then you understand what the works of the flesh are. And then, and just in case they don't, he gives us a list here. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness or crude behavior, idolatry, worshiping anything other than God, sorcery or witchcraft, hatred, contentions, that's fighting all the time, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions or divisions, heresies or wrong teaching about God, wrong biblical teaching, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries or partying, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, Galatians, you already know this, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, missing the mark. The way to miss the mark, Paul says, is evident. It's obvious. It's a no-brainer. In fact, if you came in here this morning and you know the Lord, and just last night or last week you missed the mark, you know. You know. And the Word has brought this up in your life, and you know. It says it's evident. It's evident to the child of God, the works of the flesh. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit... The fruit of the Spirit, in other words, what we get on our tree from walking in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, again, there is no law. Hitting the mark, walking in the Spirit, bearing fruit, there is no law. And those who are Christ, verse 24, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you live in the Spirit, in other words, if you understand you're alive today and you're a Christian and you have eternal life, then you're living in the Spirit. You're relying on the Spirit to save you. You understand you can't save yourself. It says, if you live there, then walk there. And in doing so, you will have strength over the flesh. You won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This up and down and up walk with the Lord will become just a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit stronger. Hitting the mark is forsaking, crucifying, dealing with the flesh. Hitting the mark is walking in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is to understand what the Spirit is all about. What the Spirit wants to do in me. Who the Spirit's in and who the Spirit isn't in. What the Spirit wants to do in the church, in the body of Christ. What the Spirit desires in my life. I have to understand those things. If I don't understand those things or I don't apply myself to get that understanding, then how indeed can I walk in the Spirit when I don't have the foggiest about the Spirit? So this morning, hopefully, we will see five things, one of which we've already seen. The first thing that we've seen is that the Spirit gives strength over the flesh, verse 16 in Galatians 5. The second thing that we're going to see is that the Spirit indeed is in believers. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, the Spirit is in you. The third thing is that the Spirit wants to give us gifts to use. And the fourth thing is that he wants to give us those gifts so that we can bless the whole body of Christ. And the fifth thing will be that everyone in the body is important to the Spirit of God. Everyone. Paul doesn't exclude anyone in the body of Christ this morning. In fact, he includes everyone. So turn in your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. Paul tells the Corinthian church, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I do not want you to be lacking in understanding of the things of the Spirit. In your New King James Bible, the word gifts there is italicized because it's not there. If it were a word-for-word translation, it would say, now concerning the Spirit. All about the Spirit. Now, the context, as we read through, has a lot to do with spiritual gifts, and that's why the translators put that in there to help us understand. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I want you to understand the things of the Spirit, how the Spirit works in you, what is done by the Spirit, what's false. If you speak in an unknown tongue, you kind of want to know what that's all about. If you have this burning desire to teach the Word of God and yet you maybe lack some knowledge, well, Lord, where did that come from? If you just want to help somebody and you just want to be used, Lord, what is that that's going on within me? I need to understand that. Verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles. In other words, you were unsaved pagans. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols wherever you were led. He says, at one time, before you were saved, you were pagans. And you get it, you understand the trances and the meditations and the visions that you would get into in worshiping these dumb idols made of wood, silver, bronze, gold, whatever it was, that could not speak, these dumb idols. You were actually carried away in that. That still exists in the world today. People trying to get into this other worldly state for whatever reason. That was once you, he says. That was the wrong spirit. In verse 3, he says, Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, evidently, there in Corinth, someone was masquerading in the Spirit, and maybe they made a really good show. Who knows? Maybe they were blessed by the enemy to do something miraculous or to speak in an unknown tongue. But they were calling Jesus accursed. At the very least, they were saying, he's a man just like you. He's a sinful man just like you. He wasn't God. He wasn't Lord. He goes, that's how you can identify someone that's not in the Spirit or of the Spirit, because they don't testify of Jesus correctly. You see, the Spirit always testifies of Jesus correctly. And that's why it says that you also cannot say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King of Kings. Jesus is Lord of Lords. Jesus indeed is God. The only reason you can know that is by the Spirit. We see in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 7 that Moses is speaking to the children of Israel, and he's reminding them of God's goodness toward them. And he describes God like this: he is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. That's God the Father that Moses is talking about. Without a doubt, none of us would question it. The God of gods and the Lord of lords. In Revelation 19 and verse 16, Jesus is pictured in a robe that was dipped in blood. And it says, on his thigh and on the robe was written his name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We don't have two Lord of Lords in Christianity. We have one God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Paul says you can only know that by the Spirit. So this morning, if you're a Christian and you're saying, how do I really know the Spirit is in me? How do I know? Raise your hand this morning if you believe that Jesus is your Lord. Raise it high. You can put it down. If you believe Jesus is Lord, then say it with me. Jesus is Lord. Do you realize that if you had no other evidence in your life prior to this moment that you just spoke those words, you now have evidence according to God's word? See, every Christian that's saved, that's come to salvation through Jesus Christ, has the Spirit in him. Peter said this in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, as the Holy Spirit had fallen on the disciples in the upper room as they were waiting, as the Lord asked them to. And then now Peter is out here testifying. And some are speaking in unknown languages, praising God. And then Peter begins to speak to the masses out there, and this is what he says. He says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." At salvation, God gave you His Spirit. The Spirit is indeed in you. Now you may feel like you don't have any Spirit in you. You may feel totally unworthy of that. Don't let the enemy deceive you. If you're here this morning and you're convicted of your sin, even as a child of God, then that's the Spirit working in you. And the Spirit this morning, by the Word, wants to do a whole lot more than just be there to convict you of sin. He wants us all to know how to hit the mark, just not when we miss the mark. In verse 4, he says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." An incredible three verses. An incredible three verses. And we could almost miss it. I missed it. I missed it until I was preparing for this study. But let's look at it again. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit of God. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord Jesus Christ. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God the Father who works all in all. Christians, that is the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, intimately interested in you and me and what we do. That goes way beyond just attending church, doesn't it? That a holy God is interested in me and what's going on in our church and everything that's going on in our church. The same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. And why does He want to give us those gifts? Look at verse 7. "But the manifestation of the Spirit," or what the Spirit looks like played out in your life as you walk in the Spirit, the manifestation, the unveiling of the Spirit in your life, "is given to each one for the profit of all." Is given to each one for the profit of all. So that thing, or those things, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit wants to work in you, is for everybody. So what if you have checked out of that portion of your walk with the Lord? The body of Christ is missing something. The body of Christ doesn't get to take advantage of however God wants to use you. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. When we love the Lord God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, then we are interested in what He is wants to do, how He has gifted us. Then we are less likely to find ourselves doing something He doesn't want us to do, because we have become consumed with what He wants us to do. Hitting the mark is being consumed with what God wants to do in your life and through your life. Hitting the mark is being consumed with that gift that He has for you. Thinking about it, praying about it, figuring it out, and then using it. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Someone that can apply wisdom in most all circumstances could have that word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Someone who can speak knowledge into your life through Scripture or receives knowledge from the Lord and can apply it in your life. Someone who perhaps is gifted to teach and to lead. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy or foretelling. Somebody in the body that just kind of knows the pulse of what the Lord's doing right now or what he's going to do, you know, in the future. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of those tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Each one. He doesn't leave anybody out. The Spirit wills. The Spirit wants. The Spirit will empower you to do something in the body of Christ. Distributing to each individually, just as he wills. That is hitting the mark. That's understanding that I'm an important piece in the body of Christ. Now, this is not an exhaustive list of the gifts. As we go through the rest of chapter 12, we will see a few more that are mentioned. Also, if you'd like to jot down Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, you'll see some other gifts: the gift of exhortation, the gift of giving, the gift of leadership, the gift of mercy, the gift to be an evangelist, the gift of not only teacher, but pastor-teacher. You'll see all those gifts and say, well, what's my gift? How do I know? I'm not sure. And I suppose you could ask some that are in your life, or you could ask a pastor, but you know, they might give you some clue, but who do you really need to ask? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, to show you and to reveal in you what that gift is and what it's all about. Verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You see, there was confusion going on in Corinth about the gifts and about how it all fit together. We know at the very least from this passage that there was a gentleman causing confusion and strife as he masqueraded and called Jesus accursed, supposedly by the Spirit. We see confusion in the body of Christ today as we have some of those churches that believe that you're not full of the Holy Spirit unless you speak in a tongue. It's not biblical. The gift of tongues is one gift. And Paul, as we go on in chapter 14, says it's not even that big of importance of a gift. We see that the most important manifestation of the Spirit in our lives is love. It's love. See, perhaps some of their gifts were causing strife. Perhaps some of their gifts, as they were new at this, were bumping into each other. As we go on in this chapter, we'll see that there's the gift of administration and the gift of helps. Now, if you have someone that has the gift of faith and leadership and vision, and they're saying, hey, I've got faith that God wants us to do this and we're supposed to go do it, and they want to run off and go do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's obedience. And they need to do it. However, you have the person with the gift of administration going, now wait a minute, there's a few things we got to plan here. There's a few things we've got to think about here. You have the guy with the gift of helps going, well, you know, let's me and you talk about this, because if we're going to get there, you know, you're probably going to need me because I've got the gift of helps. You see, and sometimes in the body of Christ, those seem to be at odds with each other, when in fact, they have to work together. And those that have the gift of administration, by no means do they want to hold someone back with faith. If God has said, go, you go. And yet, there's things that we can talk about here. There are some things that we can count the cost, you know. We can make sure that we're using every part of the body so that we're successful in this venture of faith, you know. The two need to work together. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? You see, like human nature, birds of a feather end up flocking together. And maybe in Corinth, they had their cliques as well. And maybe those with the gift of tongues tended to kind of hang out together. And maybe those with the gift of healings perhaps had their own healing services. Perhaps those with the gift of miracles would get together and brag about, you know, what mountain they moved yesterday. And the person with the gift of discernment would be a little bit leery of all those other gifts. And so we kind of can sometimes, by our own human nature and flesh, want to gather together. You know, unfortunately, sometimes I'll see that. And someone might say, you know, I really feel like I'm an eye. And there's not enough eyes around here. And so I'm going to go to this church where there's a bunch of eyes. And they leave all of us ears here to fend for ourselves. Now, no doubt there are reasons that God may take you out of one fellowship and place you in another. But you see, to be part of the body of Christ and to be plugged in and to be using your gift, make sure that you're not leaving a void. Or else, where would the seeing be? Where would the hearing be if you leave your post? You see, maybe that body that you're in, if Rocky Mountain isn't part of, you know, your home church and you're here visiting, maybe, you know, the thing that you see that's missing there, maybe God's gifted you for that. I don't know. But make sure you check in with the Lord before you leave one body to go to another. And for what reason? Verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. God has set each member of the body just as he pleased. Just as he pleased. See, those of us who are parents this morning understand how pleased we are when our children do something that's excellent. Proud of our kids. My child is an honor student at such and such middle school. So proud we get bumper stickers. So proud that if you're a Facebook user, you'll post pictures of them all over and their achievements. We're proud of our kids. We're proud when they're doing some activity that they do well. God is pleased to set each member in the body. Now here's a thought. If the Lord had a Facebook page, what would he post about Rocky Mountain? What would he post about our children's ministry? What would he post about us individually and what we're doing? You see, you can't not hit the mark anymore if God's pleased with what you're doing in the body of Christ. You can't hit the mark anymore. You see, that's why one day we'll stand before him and he'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." None of us wants to stand before the Lord on that day. Right? So much more than just going to church. Doing what God has called us to do pleases him, means that we are indeed hitting the mark. You see, if our church experience is coming in late and being the first ones out, and not thinking about church until the next week when we come in late and leave early, then we have missed the mark. We have missed the mark. Says he's placed the members. He's placed the members where he wants them. Look at verse 19. "And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God has composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism, no tear, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice in it. Walking in the Spirit is being part of the body of Christ, not just attending church. You see, I have to be here enough to know if someone's suffering, or if someone needs something, or if someone needs to be rejoiced with. I have to connect with someone in the body of Christ, or else I just attend church. And I'm not taking advantage of what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit wants to do through the whole body of Christ and how I fit in there. Verse 27. "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." Members. You are the body of Christ and members individually. Now that's a little convicting if I use my gym membership more than I'm seen in the body of Christ, fellowshipping. That's a little convicting if I use some intensity in my gym membership. I beat my body. I hurt it. I cause it pain. Diligent. And yet, I just attend church. See, hitting the mark is being intense about what God wants to do with you in the body of Christ. That's hitting the mark. That's having strength over the flesh. So oftentimes, I see Christians just get you know, so frustrated about that up and down walk and not be having that self-control. And Paul says this morning, look, walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Perhaps I've been working on my flesh a little bit more intently than I've been working on my Spirit. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. Now this is not a hierarchy list, but it is a list that Paul mentions here of positions within the church body. And he says, first, apostles or sent out ones. Second, prophets or those that would be foretelling of what God has for the church. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And then the rhetorical question, verse 29, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gift of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. So even more important that we're not just looking for that gift, but Paul here says gifts. I can have more than one of these. Lord, how many can I have? Lord, add them all. You see, and the whole reason that he's pointing out here that not everybody's a prophet, not everybody is apostle, not everybody heals. So if that's you, you've got to be at your position. I want you at your position. I'm pleased if you're at your position. I've thought about where I want to put you so that the picture of the body of Christ is complete. That's hitting the mark. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. If you'll read forward into chapter 13 this next week, you will see all about that better way. And what he's saying is that even if you have that gift and you're currently using it, if you're not using it in love, then it profits you nothing. And so maybe that's where we should start. If we're not sure about our gifts, if we're a little confused about where we are in the body of Christ, we'll start loving the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Start loving your Christian neighbor, your Christian brothers and sisters. Start loving them. And then I have no doubt that he'll show you your gift and allow you to walk in your gift. And your Christian walk will be so much richer. I thank God for all of those in this fellowship currently that have done that. They've walked through that. And God's using you. That's the only reason we're able to do everything that we see as we look around Rocky Mountain Calvary. And I hope we never take that to ourselves. I hope we're only always proud of God for what he has done through us. And I hope this morning that you're excited about having the Spirit in you. Because hopefully we have learned these five things this morning. That we are to walk in the Spirit and we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That we are to know that the Holy Spirit is in us. That we are to know that the Holy Spirit has placed us in the body. That we are to know that the Holy Spirit has given us a gift to bless the whole body. And we are to honor every person in the body. When we love the Lord God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, when we are interested in what he wants us doing, how he has gifted us, then we are less likely to find ourselves doing something he doesn't want us to do because we are consumed by what he wants us to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you indeed for your word this morning that reminds us of Lord, it reminds us of who you are. Lord, that you're a gracious, forgiving Father just by the fact that you even want to use us. Lord, help us to yield to your Holy Spirit. Lord, for those this morning that indeed feel so unworthy to do anything in the body of Christ, Lord, lift their head. Help them to know that just as their sin is gone, that they're forgiven, that they have eternal life, Lord, that indeed you want to use them in some way. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.